The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 18th chapter. And we're going to begin our reading in Matthew, the 18th chapter at verse 21. Now, the Bible has a lot to say in very significant and powerful way about God's forgiveness of us through Jesus Christ. And we've been singing about the sense of the price that's been paid for our forgiveness and about the blood of Jesus. And I trust that all of you have or will find that truth a reality in your life. However, I call your attention today to another sense of forgiveness in the Word of God, and that is our exercise of our forgiveness to others. And so in Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 21, and if you don't have a Bible, I ask you to pay attention to this passage of Scripture. Verse 21 says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times.' And Jesus said unto him, 'I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven.'" And then Jesus went on to share this story. He said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one of them was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. But that servant fell down and worshipped him and said, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all.' And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And that same servant that was forgiven of that debt went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pennies. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, 'Pay me what you owe me.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me and I'll pay you all.' And he would not. And he went out and he cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. And when his other servants saw that was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. And then the Lord, after that he had called unto him, he said, 'Oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt because you desired me. Should not you have also had compassion on your fellow servants, even as I had pity on you?' And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, Jesus said, my heavenly Father will do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one your brother their trespasses." I tell you, as I have looked at this sense of Scripture over the past years, I have found at least five things that guide my thinking and my reaction to the forgiveness of others. They all start with a G. Maybe you might want to keep them on your fingers or write them on your bulletin or somewhere or on the tables of your mind and heart. And the first one is that forgiveness of others is like a glue that holds relations together. You see, forgiveness is because of our sinful nature. We as children, we as teens, we as parents, we as bosses, we as deacons, we as preachers, all of us make mistakes. Why, the most clearest passage of Scripture in the New Testament is, for all have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. And if you were to look at this passage of scripture that I just read in its context, you could go back to verse 15 and you would find that Jesus told his disciples, listen, if someone has offended you, he gave a precise order in which you could clear that sense of you with your neighbor, with your friend, with your church member, with your family member. And then it was at the end of that preciseness that Peter came up and said, well, now listen, Lord, how many times should I give my brother if he trespasses against you? And he offered the answer to the question. You notice that? You know, I ask a question to somebody and, you know, I could ask a question and the person I was asking it to could say, well, he wants to know my opinion. But most of us are like Peter. We ask a question and we go ahead and give our opinion. And Peter says seven times. Now, you know, before we look at the whole context and say why Peter was very narrow, I think Peter, the scripture would say, was very generous. You see, sometimes we say to ourselves after the sense of the Jewish leaders that after somebody offends us and we forgive them and they offend us and we forgive them and we do that the third time, we seem to say this in our context, enough is enough. But Peter was generous. He said, till seven times, Lord, which Jesus responded, not seven times, Peter, but seven times 70. You know what? There is a sense here that Jesus said that if you and I are going to keep relationships together, unless forgiveness is unlimited, relationships will not stay together. We, as children, as teens, as parents, as teachers, as bosses, as workers, as deacons, as church leaders, as pastors, all make mistakes. You know, there's often said that out of the minds of babes comes great wisdom. Now, Glenda and I, we're entering our second or third childhood as parents again. You know, we have a son that has a son 21 years of age and then one of 18. I may have missed that a couple years. And then he has a new child. He married a lady that was almost 40 years of age, never had children, never been married, and man, did she want children. Now we've got a new baby, two years of age. And they now have both gone back to work, and a lot of times they work out of town, you know, out of town. So, well, no use for wasting time explaining our job, you know. And we got this new mother that's never been a mother before, and you know, boy, you know, we got to be careful that we don't stay. Oh, you can't get that close to the edge, you know. And we got a daddy that. So, you know, on the good days, our little 2-year-old, we go to the park, you know, and they got this thing where you call him up on the slides and the plaything. It steps, but then they got these other areas that are just hanging in the air. And, you know, we're out there saying, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. That was this week, you know. Because his mother would be saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. And we don't want anything to happen on our watch. And this week, especially, he's saying, no, me do it. Boy, he's halfway up there. And by the time we're getting to this struggle of having to, you know, forgive one another, he's saying, my daddy lets me do this. And, you know, we're saying, but we are not your daddy. And we're going to leave this park if you don't straighten up and mind your grandparents. You know, we're out there in the thick of it. You know, you would have thought we were on the floor of Congress trying to agree. And in the midst of that, we've got potty training going on. And the day has come to an end on, what day was that, going to Thursday? and Daddy and Mama about to relieve us and do the second and third shift, and we're driving home. And Glenda says, you know, our grandbaby poo-pooed in the potty. And while he was there, he looked up at me and he said, I've been a bad boy. I thought, finally, confession. Why didn't it come in the park? And I read my old notes before we had a grandbaby in the terrible twos. Children and teenagers and parents and bosses and deacons and church leaders and preachers all make mistakes. But forgiveness is the glue that holds relations together. And when Jesus said to us, unless forgiveness is unlimited, relations will not stay together. Forgiveness, not perfection, holds relations together. But forgiveness is the only gift that satisfies some offenses. You see, Jesus went on to say that there was a man whose master took account of his debt, and the man owed 10,000 talents. Now, you and I are reading that in the sense of the term of the English language. I'm reading it in an old King James Bible. You know, I could get a Living Bible that was translated 30 years ago, and it may have a dollar amount there, but inflation has inflated that. And so you may ask, how much did this man owe? And the answer to that is this: it was a lot of money. That's how much he owed. Listen, the taxation of four regions of Israel when Jesus lived, the Romans ruled that. The taxation of that was 9,000 talents. This man owed more money than the whole taxable region of that entire nation. Listen, a talent was the largest Roman denomination of money. It may have been 10,000 talents of silver or gold. And 10,000 was the largest amount that could be added up. This man owed more money than a king's ransom. He owed a debt he could not pay. That's the simplicity of it. He owed a debt he could not pay. I came to serve on a church staff once, and shortly after that I learned that a couple in that church had pretty recently had a son that was killed in a car wreck by a drunk driver. Under further investigation, the family learned that that particular driver had been drinking pretty heavy in a bar. And as he walked out of the door, he said to those people in there, I'm going to go out and kill somebody tonight if I can. And I thought about that family. I would see them walking down the halls of that church. I'd see them sitting in the congregation. And I thought to myself, no amount of money could cover the grief. No amount of prosecution of an individual could make restitution
for what they had lost. I tell you, some of us in this congregation have been deeply injured. And maybe we've been waiting a long time for someone to say, I'm sorry. I've been wrong. For restitution to be made. But God tells us that forgiveness sometimes is the only gift that satisfies. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. We must ask God for grace to forgive. It is the question that I ask myself, will I allow forgiveness to be the tool God uses to satisfy the offenses that I have faced in my life? Forgiveness is not only a glue that holds relations together. Forgiveness sometimes is the only gift that will satisfy some offenses. But thirdly, forgiveness is like a grace that heals the spiritual and emotional hurts that others have caused us. You see, that man who was forgiven of the debt he could not pay, he went out and he found another man, and this other man owed him 100 pence, the King James Version said. He owed him such a little bit. In verse 28, it says that this man bowed down and said to him, listen, you be patient with me, and I'll pay you everything that I owe you. But the man would not. It's sad that this man who found someone who owed him a small debt, who had been forgiven of a large debt, was unwilling to do so. You see, some say that if you were to take the 100 pence and if you were to divide that 10,000 talents into little amounts of 100 pence, a person could hold it in the palm of their hands. And if you were to give that and distribute it 100 pence, 100 pence, 100 pence, that 10,000 talents to individuals, they would form a long, long line. And if you gave them an opportunity to go and say, listen, I owe you a debt, and to make recompense for that debt and to pay it, that 10,000 talents in 100 pence amounts, and you would give each person 30 minutes and you would allow them to come before the master 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some say if it were 10,000 talents of gold, it would take 70 years to allow those amounts to equal what debt was forgiven. You see, sometimes we fail to forgive someone such small debts, like sometimes being late, sometimes forgetting a special event that we have invited them to, sometimes because they have said things that hurt us. And those small offenses are contrasted here by what Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus, in his parable, says, here was a man who owed a debt he could not pay, and he was forgiven of that debt. And yet, we have people who offend us in such trivial ways, and forgiveness is not found in our hearts. Some of you, as well as me, might say, well, look, I haven't done really anything that awful in my life. Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his blood that we have sung about this day,
He not only died for all of my sins and your sins in the past, all of our sins of the present and the future, but He died for all of the conceivable things that we could have done. Not what we've done, but what we could have done. We find in this life individuals who do such tragic, horrible things to other individuals. And Jesus' death on the cross paid for those sins. But forgiveness, if it can be found in our hearts, can be that which frees us of the hurts, of the little things that take place in our life. Jesus pleads with us to accept His forgiveness and to forgive others, because forgiveness is sometimes the only glue that will hold relationships together. It's the only gift that will satisfy some offenses. It's a grace that heals these little small trivial things that people do to us. But forgiveness is the only guard that frees us from the bondage that lack of forgiveness has. Now, if you look there in verse 32, it says, "Then the Lord, after He had called him, said unto him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not thou also have had compassion on my fellow servants, even as I had pity on you?' And the Lord was wroth in verse 34 and delivered him to the tormentors, should he pay all that was due unto him." Now this man who owed 10,000 talents, this man who would not find forgiveness in his heart for someone that only owed him 100 pence, where is he now? I tell you, now he is in jail. Is he in jail because he owed a debt he couldn't pay? No. He's not in jail because he owed a debt he could not pay. He was forgiven of that debt. He's in jail because he would not forgive others. Here Jesus says, listen, if we cannot find forgiveness in our hearts, we're going to place ourselves in bondage because of our failure to forgive. I remember the very first time in my life that I saw that with an individual. An individual had come down and made a commitment of her life to Christ, about a 25-year-old lady. And I told her, I said, you know, well, we'll come by and visit with you tomorrow, the next day, about your decision. And when I went by, this was her testimony. She said, you know, I feel right now that I have more security about my relationship with God than I ever have in all my life. And I thought, boy, that decision she made at that altar last night was really something. And so I said, well, tell me about that. She said, well, you know, this morning before breakfast, I called this lady that's my age. She offended me in high school. And she said, I went by her house. And she said, since I was a senior in high school until this day, she said, I have not forgiven her. She said, I would go to the grocery store. It was a little city about the size of Morningsport, maybe a little bigger, that had grocery stores in it. And she said, I would go to the grocery store, and if I would see her car parked out there, I would go on home. She said, I would go to the post office to get my mail, and if I see her car out there, she said, I'd drive around the block 3 or 4 times, and I would wait till her car would... She said, if I would come to church and see her car in the parking lot, I'd just go on home and wouldn't stay for church. I thought to myself, look, this lady, because she had not had forgiveness in her heart, she was in bondage. Some days she couldn't go to the grocery store because of her lack of forgiveness. Some days she couldn't get her mail on a timely basis. Some days she couldn't come to church. And I began to look around. I was sitting in an associational office in Norman, Oklahoma with a group of pastors working on a nominating committee for the association. And we said around this group of three or four or five pastors, what about Brother So-and-so? He could serve on this committee. He's faithful to the association. All of a sudden, an older pastor over there said, no, we're not going to have him serve on this committee. If he's going to serve on this committee, I'm not going to serve on this committee. I'm not going to serve on anything that he's on. Boy, we were all shocked. My, this is a preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ, of forgiveness. But what he's really saying is preacher A has offended me. And I've not forgiven him. And because of my lack of forgiveness, I'm in bondage. There's certain people I can't work with. There's certain places that I can't go. I begin to watch in my life. Sometimes I'd call some people and I'd say, you know, Glenn and I are going to have some people over to our house next week. And we're going to have a group on Tuesday and we'll have a group on Thursday. And we're going to just begin to meet with some people. And we'd like for you to come on Tuesday if you don't mind. Well, who's going to be there? Well, we've invited five or six couples. You know, we don't have a real huge house. And they'd say, well, who's going to be there? And I said, well, so-and-so's going to be there. And I'd name off a couple and said, well, what about the Joneses? I said, yeah, they're going to come. Well, we can't come. And I remember the first time, well, the Joneses, they live the next block over from y'all. Yeah, y'all been knowing them 20 years before we came to town. Yeah, but we can't come. Not if they're going to be there. You know, they said some things about us. They said some things about our children. We just don't feel comfortable being around them. We've decided it's the best thing for us and our family that we don't associate with them anymore. You mean somebody's going to lock you into your house and you can't come to our house? You see, forgiveness is sometimes the only guard that can come in and unlock the shackles of bondage that has been placed in our life because we have not found grace to forgive. Now listen, that old saying has deep biblical roots. To err is human. Anybody and everybody makes mistakes. But to forgive is divine. Somebody says to us, just forgive. Listen, sometimes we have to go to God and say, God, give us grace to forgive in our lives. But when we do, forgiveness acts as a guard with the key that takes the shackles of our life and frees us. And forgiveness, lastly, is like a guide that ushers us into the fellowship of God. Verse 35 says, so likewise my heavenly Father will do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone, their brother, their trespasses. We're isolated in life. We're isolated emotionally and socially and spiritually and broken when we do not exercise forgiveness in our life. When we cannot find the grace to forgive. But when you and I can realize how much we have been forgiven, and we ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our sins, and when we find grace to forgive others, we're escorted into the presence of God. When I was just a little boy, about 5 years of age,
My daddy had died when I was two, and we lived about three blocks from the state fairgrounds there in Shreveport. And so it was easy in those days for me as a little boy to walk up to the fair, and you know, you could get in for nothing back then. And even when they started charging, you know, the fence was almost in my backyard, and I could just hop over the fence and go in and be forgiven. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention. But you know, I remember my grandmother taking me to the fair. And you know, they had those little things at the carnival, and one of those things had little ducks that floated in water. You could, back then, you could pay 25 cents. And you could pick up a duck. And, you know, underneath the duck was a number. And up on the shelf was all kinds of numbers up there and had little prizes. And, you know, at 5 years of age, I didn't know that at that place that everybody who picked up a duck was a winner. You know, you didn't have to throw three balls and miss. And, you know, I got this little old chalk cat. It was about that big, red, with all kinds of glitter on it. You know, 5 years of age, my first time to put a quarter down and pick up a duck, I was a winner. You know, if you've never won anything before, and at five, I never won anything. You know, I thought, woo-wee. I went home that night. I was so excited. I put that little cat on the corner of the kitchen table. And just like my milk, about three mornings a week, I knocked it over. Pew! Broke in about seven or eight big pieces. And who knows, maybe 60 or 70 little bitty pieces all over the floor. You know, I'm talking about even all these years, I can still remember. I can't remember a lot, but I remember the emotion of that night. You see, I had gone from a first-time, first-pull winner to all of my hopes and dreams were dashed on the floor. Literally, I cried myself. I cried myself to sleep that night. But when I woke up the next morning, sitting on the corner of that table was that little chalk cat. My grandmother had stayed up the night. She got a dustpan and an old broom. She swept all those pieces up and she glued them back together, all except one little crack on the ear. And to this day, when I think about that little cat the next morning, I think about that our God is able to take all the broken pieces of our life. And if we will let Him, if we will let Him give us grace to forgive, He can put them all together in our life. We're unable to do it by ourselves. But with God's grace, if it activates in our life, it's like a guide that literally will usher us into the presence of our Lord. Most of you know that I've taken a lot of group trips in my life, and a few years ago I took one of those groups up to Seattle, Washington to get on a ship, and we were going with the tour guide, and we rode through a place, and the tour guide said, "Now, we're going to pass through the Green River Valley." Said this valley here became national news some years back when this man, Gary Ridgway, was a serial killer and murdered all of those individuals. And I looked around, and he told about that from a first-hand point of view of a person that lived in that area. But when I got home a few months later, I read an article in one of the church mail-outs by Dick Powell.
And this is what it said. It said from the early 1980s to the mid-90s, the Seattle, Washington area was terrorized by a serial murderer who came to be known as the Green River Killer. Advances, it said, in DNA technology finally enabled police to apprehend Gary Ridgway. But not until he had brutalized over 50 women. In December of 2003, in a courtroom where he was sentenced to life in prison, family members of his victims were given an opportunity to confront the man who had murdered their loved ones. Ridgway, it said, sat silent and without remorse as parents gave vent to stored up hatred, expressing their desire that he would suffer as they had suffered, that he would be brutalized in prison, and that he would rot in hell for eternity. Throughout the entire process, Ridgway was unaffected by the waves of hatred pouring from the crowd. Then Bob Rule stood to speak. Bob was the father of 16-year-old Linda Rule, the daughter he would never walk down the aisle to give away in marriage, the daughter he would never hold or touch or see again on this earth. Bob looked at Mr. Ridgway and spoke these words. Mr. Ridgway, there are people who hate you in this courtroom. I am not one of them. You have made it difficult to live up to what I believe. But God doesn't say just to forgive certain people. He says to forgive all. So, Bob Rue said to Jim Ridgway, you are forgiven. Of all the words spoken that day, these are the ones that caused Ridgway to cover his face as he broke down and wept. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grow up to cause trouble to defile you. I've heard that it is said that bitterness and unforgiveness is like a poison that you take and wait for the other person to die. Gary Ridgway is in prison. And I don't know whether he ever repented, the article said, but I do know this, that on that day, Bob Rule was set free. And that day, the presence of God was ushered in to that courtroom. And on that day, Bob Rule showed that it reflected in his emotion. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of your sins and my sins has been paid by Jesus. I hope and trust and pray that you have received it. And forgiveness through His grace can flow out to others, even though it is difficult at times. God will give us grace to forgive. Will you bow your heads all over this auditorium? Father, I thank you today that forgiveness can be a glue that holds our relations together. I thank you today that forgiveness can be a gift, an only gift, that can satisfy some of the offenses of life. Father, I thank you that you have told us that you can give us grace to forgive those little offenses of life. Father, I thank you that forgiveness can be like a guard that takes the shackles of unforgiveness away. And Father, I thank you that forgiveness can be like a guide that ushers us into the presence of our Lord. Father, right now, all of us, because all of us make mistakes, all of us encounter
an opportunity as well as a need to be forgiven by you and others. And Lord, I pray that you might deal with us. I pray that we might respond to your leadership and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.